Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. Good Sunday morning. What day is it? You know, I did say to myself last week I was going to indicate the date, being that AI is going to come and steal my verbiage out one day. So it's July 30th, 2023, Sunday morning. What is it? 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Hello and welcome everyone to, where am I? Episode 51, 52 of Looking for My Give a Fuck, hosted by yours truly, Shirley E. Shepherd. I got it out this time. Maybe I know how to actually do an opening. Anyway, it's 100 and something degrees in Los Angeles or in the Valley. We have our air conditioning on, but I'm on the second floor and it's always hot. I have a fan behind me. If for some reason you can hear it, I apologize. But in order to avoid heat stroke, I will keep it on. So, yeah, you'll be hearing the fan, but it's better than hearing me just like pass out. Again, welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. And it's been a couple of episodes that I have chosen not to do the show. And some might think, oh, you're flaking out. And I normally do not. And I promise you, I normally do not at all give a fuck about what anyone thinks or hears, you know, thinks about me. But there's a reason. You know, a lot of people doing these shows, whether it's once a week or every day, can be taxing. Taxing? Made up a word. But what I'm saying is, if my show is about looking for my give a fuck, I cannot do a show if I'm not giving a fuck that day per se. And this show is about from my heart. It's about what makes me feel good. It's about I can't get on here. I can't get on here and play games. I can't get on here and, oh, this and that. No, it's about looking for my give a fuck. And some Sundays, I just don't give a fuck to look for my give a fuck, to talk about my give a fuck. There's a lot of, but it's the reality. I have stepped into something, and it's not just quote, unquote, shit, but I've stepped into myself, my soul, my purpose. And what that means is that I will not ever again run on anyone else's schedule, even an unnecessary schedule that I have made for myself based on a show that I created for myself. However, because I've asked others to listen to me, I am obligated to, quote unquote, be on that show every Sunday. Well, you know what? Call me a flake, call me what you want. But one thing I've noticed with social media, with podcasts, with blog talks, whatever, you can be on an everyday or you can be authentic. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean I'm going to skip shows. Sometimes I do, because I do spend Sundays with my mom, or I do spend Sundays doing whatever I need to do, or just some Sundays I just don't want to do it. But moreover, Sundays are good days. At 9 o'clock, I get this out, and this is an amazing platform for me to share and for me to grow personally and hopefully with others that are listening. But more importantly, if I don't do a show, I'm okay. And if you have a problem with that, and I've heard people go, oh, there you are flaking again, because one of my problems in the past has been inconsistencies. I'll tell you to go straight to hell without passing go. And do not even collect the $200. And what I mean by that is this. I no longer will walk or listen to or acknowledge anyone else's drum. And that's just not for this show. It's about life in general. A shift has been made and has been going on with me for the past month or so. And my friend Mary, who's on the line, and I definitely will let her in a little bit, has noticed a shift. I've been quite quiet. And you know my mouth, I'm a motor mouth. I've been that since I started talking. But I've motored down. And maybe I'm a late bloomer. Most people don't find and step into their self at 57. Most people give up at 57. Because 57 of, you know, years on this earth, especially with the things I experienced. It ain't no baby daddy and all that shit. I mean, if at the end of the day, my baby daddy was all hood, all this, all that, but the greatest father in the whole fucking world. I can't argue there. Okay, so I ain't got that. But what I have been through professionally and what I've seen and what I've tried to share with others in reference to this world out here, to make myself know that one day I was going to get a statue in the park of Sioux City, Iowa. Let's go back to why that's important, because remember, this show is about looking for my give a fuck. In Sioux City, Iowa, it's a very small town. You can walk to the Red Onion at the time, and I think it was called Wall something. And you walk by the baseball field, and you walk by the Indians. At the time, I thought they were Hispanics when I moved to California. And you heard Mimi and Grandma yelling for you if the lights, truly. That shit about the lights, if you weren't in when the lights came on, there was going to be a problem. Because the neighbors from the store or wherever you were at, all the way to your house, was like, ooh, you're going to get it. And I always wanted to be remembered. And people think, well, why do you want to be remembered? Are you narcissistic? You know, that's what social media is about. No. When you are in a small town, and one of the most important memories that you have that you give a fuck about today is when your grandmother tells you, go to the Red Onion and get dinner for us. You have no idea how proud I was at 7, 8 years old to walk what I thought probably was miles to give the man the note from grandma and had the money. And to walk back to grandma's house because I was responsible for dinner that day. It wasn't until I got older that I knew my grandma was watching. And she may not have walked every step behind me, but I believe she did. But everyone that knew that pathway to that Red Onion knew that Shirley was picking up food for Grandma Shirley and the family. And I always felt so proud that I was a big girl. Look what I did for the family. Another incident is, of course, I was cute in elementary school, right? I was, really. And this young guy named Todd, I can't think of the family's last name, but, you know, my grandma used to iron shirts and a lot of things, and it's amazing how I don't iron to this very day. That's another day for another story. However, one of my oldest cousins, he irons every day in memory of grandma. Anyway, Todd really liked me, and he would always bring the clothes that needed to be ironed by my grandma for his dad, I'm sure. And, you know, the hangers, and we'd always giggle. That was a little fast thing in first grade, right? I mean, kindergarten, I believe. And, you know, we would talk, and it was so cute. So I went to school one year. My mother sent us to school to stay with her grandma and to stay to Iowa. She said, yeah, you know, you just go stay with Grams while I'm trying to figure it out in L.A. And I was in school, and the schools in Iowa are very elite schools. And I talk about that a lot. The schools in the Midwest are utilized for the LSATs and different testing. So, you know, we're up there. Not that I was up there, but hell. Anyway, we were outside playing, and it was icy, and Todd really liked me, and he tripped me, and I slid, and my whole face hit the ground and chipped my tooth, and it was, you would think, horrific. We were having popcorn that day, and I believe it was a pre-K, or maybe first grade. We were having... We were having popcorn. And you're like, why is that important? Because popcorn is a serious give a fuck. I'll tell you why. Grams comes to pick me up. My face is a little bit, you know, blistered from head to toe. And my grandma stoically took my hand and said, come on, baby girl, let's just walk. Because the school wasn't too far. Nothing's too far, you know, in Sioux City. And she said two things to me. Well, baby girl, when your mama calls, let me talk to her. And I said, Grandma, but it was popcorn day. And she said, baby girl, we gonna have popcorn this afternoon. And you must understand, my face was blistered head to toe, I mean, honestly, I didn't get my tooth fixed till I was like seventh grade. I mean, that's how serious it was. It was cracked perfectly in half. And when in mom's call, in fact, I don't think grandma ever told my mom until my mom picked me up, my mom would have had a nervous breakdown, I could imagine, right, being a mommy myself now. And Grams never allowed that to do anything more than be a moment in time where I spent with grandma. No one else was there. Mimi was my grandma's mommy, so Mimi was great grandma. She wasn't there, and my little brother wasn't there, and my older, it was just me and Grams, right? But I can imagine her looking at me, wiping off the blistering forming in my lips because of the, I slid from head to toe, boy. And more importantly, popcorn is really important to me. Again, I felt important. A couple of days, Todd comes to the house with some hangers and an extra flower. I felt important. My grandma never made it a big deal that, God damn it, your son almost killed my grandchild. No, she continued to iron, and she continued to be this great grandmother who I give a fuck about. There's a complicated situation in Sioux City, Iowa, where there is the grand, my grandma. She would have half of the grandchildren, and then there was Granny, who my aunt married, and that was her husband's mother, and Granny lived down the street. You would never know if Mommy and Grandma, Mimi, Grandma, and Granny got along because it didn't matter. But now that I'm older, I know there was tension because sometimes my aunt would have issues with her husband, but that wasn't for us to know back in the day. But what I knew is my grandma would say to me, okay, go down to Granny's house. And Granny, who's the greatest in the world, would say, Baby Shirley, I want you to come sit in the kitchen with me. I was like, oh, okay. Not to learn how to cook like she taught everyone in the world. I would brag to you about my cousin Yvonne, who I watched her cook all these pots. I swear to God, it was the sexiest thing in the world. If you want to think that I'm gay, you know what? Watching my cousin cook, it is amazing. It was the most sexual thing I ever had. I see why men do it, right? I was just like, oh, my God, this is great. And then the cake came. I was like, what the fuck? And Bonnie or Yvonne always said Granny taught her how to cook. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, by the way. But Granny would just want me to sit there. And I would always think, why was that? Well, just found out not too long ago, Granny was asked to keep an eye on me. Not that that's a bad thing. There's a lot of stuff going on with the Bakers and the Favors and the Browns, right? But Granny always made sure Shirley was just real close because just keep an eye on me, take care of me. I felt important. Well, as I felt so important, I always thought to myself, I want to be a statue in the park. And I do believe, I don't know what park in Sioux City, Iowa has statues, but I wanted to be a statue. And I generated that thought process was that I wanted to be remembered. For what, you say? For being a good person. For being a person that would trust others to go get dinner. For being a person that would, even though you get hurt by others, you forgive. For being a person that was able to sit in Granny's kitchen and watch her cook and watch all the other crazy stuff that went on. Let me tell you, we have some crazy stuff going on and still just be there to watch. I always wanted to give. I always just wanted to say, here, take everything I have. I wanted to be that statue. And I said, you know, that girl right there, she gave a damn. And then I grew up. And my whole life has been about caring for my family, my mother in particular, my child, who is still probably trying to figure out what I did for him, but I don't care. For I did everything I could and made every mistake a woman or a mother or a father could make from the depth of the soul of my heart. And if you're a parent and you don't fuck up, then you must be watching a lot of this fake-ass social media bullshit that tells you how to parent. Because when I was parenting, as I continue to look for my give a fuck, two things. I instilled in my son that you can get whatever you want. I also instilled in him, because I went to law school, how you ask for it with evidence and justification. But I also went to a source that I knew nothing about, and I still don't to this very day, truly. I said, God, I ask of you to take away whatever might be in our family that stifles us from us standing to our greatness, or having us believe that beauty is not everything. It must be accompanied with brains. If I'd have known that before, I'd just use my beauty, okay? Just letting you know. And I ask God to lift any and all things that I may instill in my child that might hinder him being great, not realizing I was ridding him of a curse. The curse of being beautiful, the curse of being intelligent, the curse of wanting to give, and the curse of wanting everyone to love you. I alleviated that. At 13, my son was just turned into a monster. I said, God, you got him. Go. And as a woman, I gave him to his father. All you women out there holding on to your sons, good luck. For you can't explain, a man can't explain a period. A woman can't explain manhood. I don't give a damn transition, tran, whatever. Before you transition into anything, you have to become whole of who you are. Thus, if you are born a woman, you must understand womanhood completely to justifiably and comfortably trans into another male or whatever you want to do. And I did that. And for all you out there who are understanding the curses of our, or curses or whatever, you realize that, shit, you gave up everything and you lifted the curse, but the child will never understand. As I sit here today and I talk about it today, I look at my child like, do you understand all I did for you? And his answer, if he even listened or heard, was no. And I don't really give a fuck. So that's what you're supposed to do when you're at that age at some level. But trust me, for all of you, including myself, and I tell myself this as of now, your decisions to lift and to suffer for and to alleviate pains that are from family, to allow the new generation to live a lighter life, God. And no, I don't say to my son, you just wait, you won't have somebody like you. I would never wish that. My son was kind of a badass. But we do all these things. I give my soul to every job I've ever had. I'm not the best at what I do. I just make everything look pretty. Friendships, not good with them. For I used to give my friendship to the point of conditionalship. And when could not be my friend. Friendships were scary because I didn't want to fail. After so many years of wanting to be that statue in the park and giving everything and taking care of everybody, and forgetting about looking in the mirror, because if you were to look in the mirror, you would see that you were tired. You would see that you were getting older. So I'd rather hide and not feel. You know, God, I've done enough. I'm tired. A couple of days ago, I was asked to take care of a couple of legal things for a couple of people. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I think I've shared this with you about my, you know, looking for my give a fuck. The legal profession has uncoupled my give a fuck, right? And these are very important people to me and very important issues. And I couldn't sleep the night before I was asked to respond to letters or respond to court orders, which normally would not bother me. In fact, I was dreaming, how do I respond to this? I was so into my inability to do it thought that I was up all night. I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll say it this way. Maybe I'll say it that way. And the next morning for each situation was this week. I woke up and I still didn't have it all together. So I almost called and said, you know, I can't do this. I thought it was menopause and, you know, I'm getting old. And it was fear. Fear that I would do a good job to where I would even have to look at myself and say how great I am. And how I would have to compromise with myself saying, you cannot leave this field for what you are doing. Is saving not only others, but maybe even yourself. Maybe you're at the point where the legal profession wasn't a fuck you. And that's what I did to prove everyone I was smart. I'm going to law school. Fuck you. Fuck you. But maybe now you're doing it because you're just good. And each letter I wrote came from a place of, yeah, you know, what you're alleging is not cool, but you know what? I'm not going to argue with you, bruh. Let's handle this. And for each person that read the letter, it was two people. One actually cried because it was a family law matter that for after all these years, I put in words where she just simply said, babe, I'm you know, let's just work this out. I'm good. I don't want to fight anymore. And she, for the first time, felt empowered, not by the fact that he had millions and she doesn't, but by the fact that she was just, I want to work this out because one day, previously, I loved you. This is not what the letter read. The letter was, I respect what you want to do with the child support. I respect that. I honor that. Give me the order. I will immediately handle that. And I look forward to handling our outstanding balance of being in the arrears. And you know what? Hey. She's my mom's friend. She called my mom and said how I saved her life. And of course, my mom shared that with me. My other friend, who I'm helping her with her business, she's pretty smart. And she said, well, I know when I read this letter that they were tripping, but it's your response that made me realize that I'm not crazy and that we can do this and that we have power. What I've learned about being in the legal profession, about my give a fuck, is when I was in it, I was emotionally in it. And I responded to everything with an emotional why the fuck. Not anymore. I am greater than AI. For I use AI to give me the tools to respond without the emotions. But yet, still be able to use the emotions. If I could read to you the letter that was my friend received with a 3-day notice and how ridiculous it was, emotions would not have gotten her out of that. It was the law. But using AI to pull from areas of the law that I wasn't aware of, coupled with my ability to write with emotions, made me stronger than AI. I'm still trying to get to the park. Maybe not. But I'm going to move into AI for a minute. Every person that does not have a level of understanding of what they love, who they are, what they study, you're behind the curve in AI. AI is only as good as the information you provide it with to lead you to what they believe you're looking for. I realize that. You don't need AI if you know what the fuck you're doing. You might need Grammarly to put in a word that, you know, for me, I'd be like, fuck that nigga, blah, blah, blah. The AI be like, well, I'm discontent with, right? But you don't need AI. And if you use AI, how many of us have studied as much law as I have studied, have failed at every endeavor? What questions do you know to ask? How do you know to look into the responses to those questions? We're behind the eight ball, black folks, white folks, anyone that's ignorant. Social media people, stop. I don't care what you think. This morning, or all day yesterday, I watched, I think it was Channel 106, CNBC or something, and it was about real people that knew business, real chemists or real financial gurus that taught me more than a social media. I think it was because whatever. Come on. Put some professional back in to what you think and why you think that. Encouragement is good, but foundation to survive is imperative. So my give a fuck is realizing my strength and battling with it. And we're going to continue that next week. I have 3 minutes. I'm going to bring in Mary because she always makes me laugh. And plus, I went on plug in her show, but she's amazing. And Mary, if you're there, I'm going to take you off mute. Hold on. I think you're, hold on, it's still spinning.
Good morning,
Hi.
Cheryl. Good morning.
Good morning. You there? Talk to me.
Yeah, give me 1 second, Cheryl.
See, that's what happens. See, this is why you don't fuck around with people. You put them on the show, and they got extra shit to do. That's called ghetto fabulous. And Mary is actually white. But she got so much ghetto black in her, it embarrasses me. You see what I'm saying? She's like, hold up. I know you doing your show. Hold up. Mary, are you there yet?
Okay, now, you know what? Hold on a second. I'm just saying, you know, I am at my part-time job, so I do apologize that I had to make you wait a moment. Now, moreover, you can join me right here on Blog Talk Radio on the J. King Network every Sunday for Mary Had a Little Cancer at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Eastern. If you live in any other time zone, look the shit up. But, yeah, every Sunday right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for letting me plug my show, Cheryl.
Of course, like I said, huh? She's like, hold up. I'm going to be on the show. I'm telling you, she's the blackest white person I ever met. And sometimes she'll say something black, and I'll be like, what does that mean?
If you want me to get white, I can get white. Oh, my God. Like, so if you want to check out my show, it's today and every Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning at Pacific Standard Time right here on the Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
see you there, guys.
So good. So
excited.
Hi, Barb. It's like, hi, Barbie. Hi, Mary. Hi, Barbie. Hi, Mary. Anyway, did you like the show today? I know I went in, and I'm looking forward to listening to your show. But there's a minute. Do you want to go ahead?
Oh, no.
Mary, I'm having good.
It was good. Can you hear me?
All right. What's your topic today? That's it. Okay.
A day in the life. You know what? I don't know what the topic is going to be because, you know, I kind of do things off the cuff. Obviously, we're going to talk about my journey through breast cancer. So.
All right. We got to talk about that because we haven't had really an update. But I think there's some other journeys that I would love for you to explore in that we have been talking about that. And in closing, I have 40 seconds. There was a song I've been listening to you guys, Did It My Way by Frank Sinatra. And I think that a lot of people, including the theme to my show today was My Way. How many of us are doing it my way? And Mary, you made some amazing decisions in order to craft or to include a way that you can stabilize what makes you happy during your journey of blah, 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 by way of making some amazing decisions in reference to your businesses. So I hope you talk about that on the show. Okay, you guys, I have 10 seconds. I'm happy that Mary showed up. You know, she working and being crazy. Anyway, until then, I want to say, you guys, I'm signing off. And as a reminder, please continue to make good memories. Have a great week.